people.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning. Here is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, Sirius XM Channel 158, Frog in My Throat. All that. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidley alongside.
Yes, sir.
How you doing, man?
Good, man. Limping into 2026, you know?
Happy New Year, everybody. Wow. You know, when you're by yourself before the show, you don't really talk out loud. Right, it's the first time I'm hearing myself. Not good.
Not great, Bob.
Not good. Not great, Bob.
We'll make it through.
Steve Spurrier when they went 5-11. Yep. Not too good.
Not too good.
But I see some other teams were 4-12, so that's something. On the show today, Will Hill will join us. All his bets on this December 31st, 2025. Can you believe it? Can't believe it. Should have bet more podcast host Will Hill. Greg Peterson, host of Coast to Coast Hoops, the podcast that don't stop. Thousands of them in a row. Nary a break. Not a day goes by when that man doesn't do a college basketball podcast. His pack of five, his fab five, if you will. For college hoops today, Toddy Wishnev showing up a little early.
Mm-hmm.
Did he request the early
Requested an earlier spot today.
You know
said,
why?
No problem, Tad.
Do you know why?
Why?
He doesn't want to be interrupted with the college hoops and the college football.
That's right, man. It starts early today.
That's right. You can't. This is the thing. The Megapod was yesterday. He goes, really, Gil? The Megapod right in the middle of all these college basketball games? I'm like, sorry to give you a platform, Todd. Sorry to be that guy.
I did see some plays coming across. I was like, is he recording right now?
Wes Reynolds, co-host of Long Shots. Is he in Pasadena already?
He is.
He's got to
be. I think we have him live from the hotel room.
Live from the hotel room in Pasadena for the Hoosiers game tomorrow. What a moment for Wes and his Hoosier fandom. Nick Whalen will be on the show. RotoWire senior analyst, talk NFL with us. And Warren Sharp a little later on as well to talk National Football League. Speaking of college football, I don't ever get to like, a couple things here that I don't ever get to do. One, I'm gonna actually go through some Dr. Bob synopsis on I'll paraphrase. I'll go to the details of some Dr. Bob analysis on a few of these games today, because in addition to Miami, Ohio State, which obviously starts the national quarterfinals tonight on New Year's Eve, we have four more bowl games today. And I want to go through. Bob doesn't have a best bet on three of the four, but he has a lean on three of the four.
OK,
so I figured this was a good day where I'm not in any way harming his business, right? Because they're not best bets. But to give just the listeners an idea of the kind of analysis that he does, our frequent college football guest, weekly college football guest who does so well with his picks. Now, obviously, you can go to VSiN.com. Phenomenal analysis as well. But I just wanted to highlight Bob on a few of these games here momentarily. The other thing I get to say for the first time ever in the history of this show, did you see that TCU-USC game last night?
No, I did not see the ending of it. Looked like it was fun.
It would well. TCU wins it in overtime.
I saw the replays this morning.
It was a fun game. It was an amazing touchdown, by the way, to win it in overtime on third and a million. How the kid stayed in bounds, I have no idea, to get to the end zone, and TCU wins it. But USC had a late touchdown in regulation before TCU was able to tie it up. That was caught by a kid by the name of Jaden Richardson. Do you know where I'm going with this?
Mm.
This kid went to Tufts University for 4 years.
Oh, the Jumbos!
This kid went to Tufts for 4 years, and he went into the transfer portal. He from 2020 to 2023 went to Tufts, which, by the way, what a school. And D3 football powerhouse, right? And he went in the transfer portal. Apparently, like, Cal wanted him, and he ended up at USC. And last night, he makes arguably the greatest catch of the year in college football.
That's great.
For a touchdown.
I'll never forget. Obviously, this is where Gil went to school. My sister went to school there, too. And I will never forget me and my dad helping move her in and us going over to like bail on like move in for a bit. We're like, let's go watch football practice for a bit. We're us just looking at each other like this is the saddest thing I've ever seen on my planet.
It's literally a field by houses.
Yes, it is. Yeah,
it's a field by in a neighborhood. It's all
there are
it is.
Much more impressive high school football.
That's
practice.
Right. That's where they play college. Seen. And that kid, he ends up at USC and makes just an unbelievable Odell Beckham Jr. Well, I'm not crazy because Odell's was from further out, but it was a awesome catch where he was blanketed by the D-back and still managed to bring it down. So shout out Jaden Richardson. We never get to say that. As far as three games today in college football, three of the five, obviously the fifth is Miami, Ohio State, where the quarterfinals begins at the Cotton Bowl tonight. We'll get Will Hill's play on that. We'll get a bunch of folks chiming in on that. But of the four games that precede that today, Kelly, the one game, which is probably the most marquee, I guess, in matchup department of the four that Bob does not have a play on at all, or even a thought on either way, is Michigan-Texas. So the other three, beginning at noon Eastern, so we'll still be on air here in a couple hours, 9 a.m. Pacific, Iowa and Vanderbilt. Now, remember with Bob, it's he used to have three-star best bets. Those kind of no longer exist. Like, but that's what I love about Bob is that he is not one to try to induce money by acting like something's a bigger edge than it is. So those three-star best bets have kind of gone the way of the Edsel. I don't know, the reference for those who are 90 years old. Thanks very much. Always bringing in the coveted 80 to 90 year old demo on this show.
That's so, really one I have to Google.
Iowa Vanderbilt, though, this morning, obviously is a big game in terms of just a bowl matchup this year. It's about as good of a matchup as it gets. Vanderbilt's elite offense, Iowa's elite defense. Only Eli Stowers, Vandy's tight end, is sitting out this one. Everybody else is playing. And this is from Dr. Bob. Commodores average 7.5 yards per play against FBS opponents. That would combine to allow just 5.1 yards per play to an average attack. Best offense in the nation, he says, based on compensated yards per play. And they'll be up against an Iowa defense that's been 1.4 yards per play better than average. Now, Vanderbilt has faced six very good defensive teams this season, South Carolina, Alabama, LSU, Missouri, Texas, Auburn. And they were relatively worse in those games, as one might expect. But still 1.9 yards per play more than an average offense would gain against those teams. So that's still very good. But obviously not as good as when they play against bad defensive teams who they just destroyed this year. They averaged 8.6 yards per play against everybody else on offense, the other six teams on their schedule. And he, by the way, does not downgrade Vandy at all for Stowers' absence in this game at tight end. But now here's the deal, and this is why I wanted to sort of highlight what Bob does, because I'm going to save where the lean is for the end on these, because right now you're thinking, oh, maybe he's all about Vandy. Well, no, because there's other things that Bob likes to talk about in his write-ups. Special teams. Iowa has the special teams, nation's best special teams rating. And then there's he does his math model, which is everything I've said so far is about his math model. Then he does what he calls his technical analysis, which is really another way of saying, here are historical trends based on certain situations. He has access to the Buckeye database, one of the very few people that has access to the Buckeye database, which goes all the way back to the 70s. And what he says is that Vanderbilt does apply to a negative 30-97-2 ATS bowl situation that plays against high scoring teams. And if you think about it, that actually makes some intuitive sense. Because the extra time off between games can take a highly tuned offensive unit out of their rhythm. Remember, extremely high scoring bowl team, you know, high scoring teams also tend to go under in their bowl games in general. So there's also a 40-13 under angle, he says, that applies to this game. But Iowa special teams makes them better than they appear. I mean, the Hawkeyes better than they appear, and is a big reason that they're 9-2 against the spread in games against FBS opponents this season. Hawkeyes 4-0 as well. ATS as an underdog this season, their largest loss by just 5 points. So it's not a best bet. It's not even a strong opinion. But the lean, because of that technical analysis, if you will, that historical trend, the lean is towards Iowa. So anyway, just a snapshot of how a really good handicapper breaks down a game.
Mm.
It's not just his math model. He doesn't have fealty. He doesn't listen to his math model as the gospel. If there's something in the historical trends that buck that, it will often take him out of a game, and his lean is on the Hawkeyes. Let me just do one more. Nebraska-Utah, right? Utah's a 14-point favorite in this game today.
Yep.
We've had a lot of Utah traffic on the show today. Yep. Or on the show this week, I guess. So remember, with Nebraska, no Emmett Johnson, no Dylan Raiola. Raiola injured in week 10, now expected to transfer. Leave the keys of the offense in the hands of TJ Latif. Backup running backs, Mosey and Nelson, just 142 yards rushing on 34 runs between them. Bob rates Nebraska's offense 0.6 yards per play, worse than an average one for this game. Utah's defense not as good as usual this season in terms of what we've expected from them in past years, but they won't be at full strength either. Defensive end John Henry Daly, their second team All-America, he's out. So is Logan Fano, who opted out. Utes will be down both of their starting tackles in front of the great Dampier. They will be down Outland Trophy winner Spencer Fano and leading wide receiver Ryan Davis. Davis doesn't matter as much, but Fano does. Nebraska's D, a little bit better than average in the regular season, and they're intact aside from edge rusher Dayson McCullough. Good pass defense, horrible run defense, though, for Nebraska. Anyway, you put that all in the wash. He goes to his technical analysis, right? That's his math model, as you talked about. He goes to his database. Cornhuskers apply to a 61-20-4 ATS bowl situation, which, by the way, Bob will not tell us exactly what it is. He keeps those to himself. And then Utah applies to a 15-56-1 ATS minor bowl big favorite angle. So his lean, again, not a best bet, not a strong opinion, but his lean is actually towards the Huskers and the 14.5
pretty
points.
Pretty big differences there on those ATS numbers.
Yeah. So just again, just a snapshot on this Wednesday morning midweek on a New Year's Eve morning when we have a bunch of bowl games. Just a snapshot into a really pioneering handicapper's method of breaking down a college football bowl game, even in this very odd times of college bowls. Did I mention the kid from Tufts? Did that come up this segment?
Yeah, it did. I'm curious. Any best for you in college football day, pregame?
I'm on Miami tonight. What's the points?
That's right.
Yeah, although I got the worst of it. I got 8.5 because I thought it was going to come the other way. Let's go, Canes. Let's do it. Coming back, Will Hill next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Want to bet smarter? Start with smarter insights. Right now you can check out the college football playoff previews. Also, the bowl game betting hub. We have previews for every bowl game plus best bets on the website at VSiN.com. And Greg Peterson's college basketball best bets. Greg will be with us here momentarily on the show. Later today, you can check out Zach Cohen's NBA best bets, Jonathan Davis's NHL picks and props, Adam Burke's FCS championship preview. You can get full Visa Pro access through May 1st, 2026 for just $79 with the holiday special at vsin.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, I'm playing hurt. What do you prefer? Do you prefer the faucet stage of a runny nose, or do you prefer the clogged up middle of the face version?
You know what? It's actually a great question.
Thank you.
I would prefer to do the show with the bad voice.
That's me right now.
Than the nasal activity of yesterday.
Yesterday was a faucet.
That's tougher to do the show. It's probably better for the audience, though, the other way.
Okay. We at Sweet Speedy the Book, Stud Bod. Wow. Self-proclaimed Stud Bod. He said, feel better, Gil. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it very much. Larry Fresh and Will Hill is who's joining us here in a second is starting trouble on Twitter. So I don't know if you know this on the Megapod, Todd is claiming a championship, which he did beat me and Will, squeaked by Will.
Oh boy.
But the guest chair destroyed Todd this year.
And has this never happened before?
This is never. The guest chair has never won.
Never happened. Okay.
But the guest chair beat you. Went 3-0 when you were on. Ben Wilson went 3-0. Rufus Peabody went 3-0. Mike Pritchard went 3-0. It was an amazing year for the guest chair. Todd is claiming a championship. Well, Larry Fresh, everybody's chiming in saying the guest chair should win the championships. And Larry Fresh says, first Todd didn't want Stormy on the Megapod. Now he's not giving her 1/18 of the championship she earned. And Will, of course, starting trouble, goes, excellent point, Larry.
Yeah, these are facts.
And Stormy just chimed in. She said, wow, Todd. Wow.
I mean, all of us take precious time out of our lives to come do this show every year. Yeah. We deserve to be recognized for our triumphs.
Todd responds, Stormy, I've heard and seen you do the greatest sideline reporting ever done in this country, being a super sleuth and bringing the public the truth regarding injuries, etc. Clearly, you're too intelligent to fall for this Will Hill fabrication. Will Hill starting something on Twitter. We'll get to Will here in a second. This is from, the great Swami Gator. You hear about this in Chicago? Apparently, the mayor of Chicago, is this true, has added a 10.25% sports betting tax Justice Chicago set to kick in on January 1st?
All right, I can't speak to details of this.
Tax code radio.
But it's like another one where I'm just like, this is the whole point of why we legalized it in the first place. They're like, we need more money to build roads and bridges and stuff. We're like, this is the whole point. This is the whole point.
Yeah, but you can't have it if you're doing that. Like, you can't then take that and make it unbettable.
No, I know. Yeah. I know. But I'm saying the reasons we've heard That's for some correct. Of these added taxes were the reasons in the first place you were getting legalized sports betting.
Jason H. 11, when you're on a heater like Todd Wishnev, you give the man exactly what he wants. I know with Todd, that can be scary, but too bad. Feel better, Gilly. Meaning he's coming on earlier today. Mm-hmm. Mike Rouse, since we have college basketball and football games during the last hour, can we get some primetime action live bets today? I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe.
We'll see if it happens. And Joe C714, please tell Wes when he's on, if he has time to make it down to Orange County and likes Korean barbecue, he has to go to Morangak. Best spot was a hole in the wall where I grew up, but blew up now because of social media. And JD in Florida, Gil, need to go old school and lather that Vicks vapor rub. Happy New Year to you and the crew. Cheers. Thank you. Happy New Year to you as well. And Buddhist Man says, 3-star picks from Bob have gone the way of the covered wagon. That is correct. Will Hill joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He is the host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast, also writes for FoxSports.com, and of course is the Megapod stalwart as well. Happy New Year, Willie.
Gilly, Happy New Year. I want to add one little fact here that I think you overlooked that I think the audience needs to know about regarding the Todd Wishnev feud here. He doesn't understand sarcasm, so if you're just messing That's with right. him, if you're just completely right. messing with him, it just goes over his head, and he starts to flip out, and he reacts as though it's serious. Obviously, we're just... messing with him. There is a legitimate debate. Does the guest chair deserve to be named the champion, which had the better record, or should Todd get it because he beat the two of us? That's a fair debate, but the rest of it is a lot of tongue-in-cheek and just messing with him, and that seems sometimes to not get sunk into Todd's head. By the way, I just want to chime in also, the faucet aspect of the nose, that is very difficult when you have to constantly and this is the key, when you have to constantly treat it and you start to get like a chapped nose and it starts to get irritated. That's a really difficult scenario.
It's the worst. The worst. About the bowl games today. Again, 4 rando bowls. We can still call them rando. And then, of course, the quarterfinals tonight. Anything on the 4 bowl games today that precede the Miami-Ohio State game?
Yeah, what a great day this is. All the bowl games, the playoff game tonight, and then the 3 tomorrow. It's a great 24, 48 hours if you're a college football fan. The one among the bowl games, I like Michigan plus the points. If you read some of the stuff that was coming out of the Michigan building, that was going on in the Michigan building during Sharon Moore's tenure, just texting girls an hour before the game. And my goodness, it's addition by subtraction. Winningham is already, I guess, with the team. I guess the adult in the room factor there. And plus, they didn't get completely just robbed of their talent from the transfer portal. It's not like there was a mass exodus like a lot of people thought when the Moore story broke. So I like Michigan. I don't know that the 7.5s are still out there, but you can put me down for Michigan plus 7. I think they'll play Texas to a close game. Finally, you get some brand names you recognize. I mean, a lot of these games, it's like Coastal Carolina versus whoever they were playing yesterday, Louisiana Tech and Old Dominion. And finally, you got like Michigan, Texas. Some names and some uniforms you recognize, but I do like Michigan plus the points.
How about Miami, Ohio State? Refresh our memory. You have a play on this?
I like Miami. I think Miami wins the game. I think you're going to look back 4 or 5 years from now and look at this Miami team and say, wow, look at all the NFL talent they have. Both sides of the ball up front. I know I got to mention it, and I didn't mention it last week, and the aforementioned Todd Wishnev was upset that I didn't mention that Mario Cristobal is the coach of Miami.
Yes.
You have to throw that caveat in there. They probably should have kicked a field goal last time. All right, we probably don't have time between now and kickoff to frame Mario Cristobal for some sort of heinous crime where he can't coach tonight. He's probably going to have to coach the game. That being said, Ohio State played 2 real playoff-caliber teams. They played Texas, and they played Indiana. They scored a combined 24 points. I still have questions about their offense. I think Miami can muck it up. Miami probably has to create some turnovers, some short fields, and sneak out like a 20-17 type of game. But I think they're very capable of it. And it was the beginning of the year, the first first six weeks or so, the debate wasn't Miami versus Notre Dame, who belongs in. The debate was Miami versus Ohio State, who's the best team in the country. I don't know from a power rating standpoint how you get to 9.5 points here. I know the 10s have gotten gobbled up, but I think it's too many points. I like Miami.
Nothing on the total, 41. Based on what you just said, sounds like maybe a lean under.
That's just so low. Yeah. For indoor, it's a fast track. It's good conditions. All it takes is one turnover, one you know, defensive score. That's just that's really cutting it close with a total. That's a really low total for a college game, especially when weather's not a factor.
And then tomorrow, do you have plays in the remaining three quarters?
Yeah, I know people are going to look at Bama and say, wow, when do I get Bama +6.5, +7 points? I believe 2008, when Tim Tebow was the opponent, was the last time you could get Bama plus a touchdown, almost 20 years ago, 18 years ago, something like that. I think there's a reason it's 7. I think just based on talent and what the performance have been this year, I think this line should be closer to 10. I know you got Indiana, an unfamiliar role, as a favorite where there's some expectations. Bama's the opposite, unfamiliar role as a dog where they can come in. It's almost house money. I think Indiana wins. I think they win by 10 or 14 points. So I actually think the 6.5, 7, obviously shop for the best number. If you like Indiana, I think you find a 6.5. I like the favorite here. And keep this in mind too. Matt Eumanns mentioned this when I was doing a show with him a couple of weeks ago, that he bet Indiana on the money line. Keep this in mind with all these standalone games, playoff games. There's a lot of public action. Public likes to come in on the underdog on the money line. You can get some cheap favorite money lines. I know a lot of people don't want to, you know, cut in line to bet -230, -240 on a money line favorite. But when you got a 7-point favorite, some spots like -220, -230, that's pretty cheap for a touchdown favorite. So keep that in mind with this game and some of these other games going forward. As far as Oregon, Texas Tech, I just think Oregon's, they played a tougher schedule. I think the fact that they were here last year and they got their teeth kicked in, I think that helps them. I like Oregon. I took them on the money line. I could see a 30-28, 28-27 type of game. I think this will be the best game of the best game of the round here. But I do like Oregon. I think their offense is enough to get by Texas Tech. And I can't find anyone that likes Ole Miss, but I don't like Ole Miss either. I just think Georgia's gotten better. Georgia with Kirby Smart and time to prepare. Their defense has gotten a lot better. And, you know, Ole Miss gave them their best punch when they played in the middle of the season. And Ole Miss still lost the game by 8 points. So I don't see why it would be different this time around. I know it's dangerous when everyone likes a certain team, but I'm on Georgia with everybody else.
Yeah, that phenomena you talk about, or that Eumanns talks about, which is the public's desire to play the dog on the money line this time of year, is very akin to that Super Bowl phenomena that we talk about.
Yes.
We don't really know the reason why the behavior changes. Maybe it's a last hurrah kind of thing where they're like, I'm going for the gusto, right?
Well, I think the game that Will and Matt use as an example is the perfect one. How many idiots like me are showing up for, tomorrow and being like, Alabama, I can get over 2-1 on the money line? Let's roll against Indiana, sure.
In that voice.
In that voice. Come on, load up.
Will, before you go, week 18, did you make any pre-flop bets in the NFL?
I just don't know how the Ravens are a 3.5-point favorite over the Steelers on the road. We don't know if Lamar's going to play. Those games are always close. Those games are always low scoring. So, I think we'll get another typical 20-17 sort of rock fight here. I got a feeling the Steelers missed their chance to close out the division, but we'd be typical Tom when he blows a game against the Browns and bounces back and beats the Ravens. But I like getting the points there. I do like the under as well.
Yeah, I was surprised on guessing lines. It was, first of all, I only thought Baltimore would be the favorite because I know how the market loves them, but I couldn't believe it was 3 and the hook on top of the 3. Will, happy new year to you and the entire clan.
Appreciate it, guys. Happy New Year. Thanks.
Will Hill, everybody, at Not The Will Hill on Twitter. Coming back, more football.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of tailgating. And right now, when you spend $129, you can score 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings plus 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Don't wait. Spend $129. Get 2 pounds of wings, save 50% out site-wide, rather, on steaks and more at omahasteaks.com/VSIN. That's omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Minimum purchase required. See site for details. I thought you made an excellent point just now off air, Kelly Bidley, which is that during the pandemic, we all wore masks. Now, we're not here to debate the politics of the decision-making on that and what you agree with, what you don't. But the one thing I remember saying at the time many times while that was going on was, the one thing that wearing masks does prove, I say this as a sick guy today.
Yeah.
The one thing that wearing masks does prove is all the crap and germ, all the stuff that's in the air that we all got sick from, because nobody got sick during the pandemic wearing those masks. Nobody got non-COVID sick, right? Regular common cold sick. Like, I remember that was the longest stretch of time I've ever gone in my life without getting sick. I think most people had that same experience.
Yeah.
All that to say, good God, just like Hasn't it made you more sensitive to, like, if someone coughs or sneezes around you now, aren't you like, oh my God, get away from me?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. A little bit. We were just talking. I'm like, I caught something last night about some new flu strain coming back this year that it's like it's hitting people hard because we haven't seen it in like 5 years.
We haven't seen it in 5 years.
People wearing masks like helped eliminate it. Well done to everybody who wore masks correctly.
And you thought Michael Jackson was crazy.
Wacko Jacko
had it right.
I was not great with them during the pandemic, that's for sure.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Las Vegas 514. Yo, he says, since young Kelly's more than a producer, have him gently massage pressure points around your nose and cheekbones to ease sinus pressure. Or just call out and rest. Get well soon. Thank you.
He's not Giannis.
That's right. If I were Giannis, he would do it. Rich Sports 1981, Happy New Year. Thanks for all that you guys do. Love the show. Go Canes. Thank you, Rich Sports. Happy New Year to you too as well. Johnny Ringo, in regards to the Megapod, is Mr. Hill getting relegated for finishing in last? That's a good point. We don't have relegation, Megapod. No, we love Will too much. No relegation. Todd says, I squeaked by Will. Rob Graham, Happy New Year's Eve to a numbers game of the whole VEASAN cruise. Just a tidbit, New Year's Eve in Canada is called the same thing as you all do. Thank you for all the work you do for fellow sports investors. Have a prosperous 2026. You don't say.
Canadian New Year's.
You call it Happy Canadian New Year's, like Canadian Thanksgiving. Happy New Year's. By the way, we're already New Year's Day in Australia already. In Australia. Can we put up this Eagles tweet? Because this is something that I talked about several times on this show. I talk about it every year. But this goes to the notion of, remember, I've said a lot. It's like, okay, when these last couple weeks of the season, are teams incentivized to get the number one seed? Absolutely. Are teams incentivized make miss playoffs? Absolutely. Right. Those two things are obvious. But I do like to say, besides, again, well, the fourth division winner might be a soft spot for a five seed to travel to. That might be the only other sort of thing in this. But I always say we make way too much, right? Way too much of teams, quote unquote, jockeying for other seeding, right? 2 versus 3, 6 versus 7.
Yep.
Way too much jockeying. And the Philadelphia Eagles have leaned into this, and they have decided to sit pretty much everybody.
Yeah, this is from Jeff McClain, who covers the team. Eagles are expected to rest Jalen Hurts and most of the starters in the season finale versus the Commanders. Shouldn't come as a surprise based on Nick Sirianni's comments when asked about the benefit of having a, quote, bye week heading into the playoffs.
And so that spread, which was 7, Eagles favored by 7, is now down to what, Kelly?
3.5.
3.5, cut in half, just
total
like that.
Total 39.5 for that game. And, yeah, I think it's a great point by you, Gil, and it makes you wonder about some of these other teams, right? Like, we've already heard about Herbert sitting for the Chargers. Like, I mean, I love the guy. Josh Allen really going to play this week?
Well, so that's the thing. That was when we were doing guessing lines. I was like, I'm putting Buffalo as 7 as a placeholder. I'll put Philly as 7 as a play. But it's just a placeholder because, again, just take the Philly example. Philly example is if the Bears lose and Philly beats Washington, Philly gets the number 2 seed, which, if you recall, was the seed that they won the Super Bowl from last year. Detroit was the number 1 seed at 15-2. That didn't go well. But Philly won the Super Bowl from the number 2 seed. So, you know, what do you hear on mainstream media? Oh, well, if Bears lose and the Eagles win, the Eagles get the number 2 seed. What does that mean? That means the Eagles would host the Packers as a 2 seed. Whoever's the 2 seed hosts the Packers. And what the Eagles are, and we've said on this show, again, when you're handicapping these games, we way overrate that stuff. Like the Eagles simply don't care whether they, now you may disagree with this, right? But they simply have made the assessment that it is more important for them, regardless of opponent, in the wild card round, to sit their players and rest their players and get healthy than it is making any kind of assessment like, well, if we don't play the Packers as a 2 seed, we're going to end up with some, you know, Niners, Rams, or Seahawks, right, from the West as a 3 seed. They don't care in the end.
Yeah, I think it's this one.
Or they don't care enough to have that trump other considerations.
Right. The other thing to add on to it, right, is that this year you're getting, especially this year, right, when we talk the 5 through 7 seeds in both conferences, we have no idea how they're going to play out. So it's not like
we know the Packers are 7 in the NFC.
Right, right. Okay, right. We know that one. You're right.
So that's why it makes it such a clear decision on their point. They're like, because most people would say like, wow, wouldn't they rather play the Packers at home than either any of those three teams from the West.
The home would be the biggest part, right? But you're obviously it's not that important to them.
Well, and the difference between a 2 seed and a 3 seed in the subsequent round, if let's say seeding manifested, right? Because obviously they reseed. But if everything went according to seed, what the Eagles are doing by sitting players this Sunday against Washington is saying, guess what? We're also willing to sacrifice a home game in the division round.
Yes.
So think about that. Again, it's we way overrate stuff like that as sports fans and as bettors. Not the 1 seed, not make miss playoffs, not necessarily who gets the 5 seed because you get to go to a soft 4 seed. But the 2-3 and the 6-7, we way overrate that.
Yeah, so like that is the so you know, bringing it back to the Bills, right? Like even okay, like that's a point you could make of why Philly should want to play this is okay. You get down to that point, maybe you get an extra home game. Buffalo can finish where anywhere between 5 and 7. That's it. It's not like we're talking about the possibility of getting up to a 2 seed or something like that.
Super Bowl matchups, Kelly. I don't know if you've made any of these bets. I made two the week that you were gone. I made a Chargers Niners at 125-1, I believe it was. And then the Chargers Rams at 20-ish to 1. It's 28-1 and 66-1, I believe. What am I talking about? 28-1 and 66-1 for those San Francisco Chargers is 66-1 and San Francisco against the Rams, the Chargers against the Rams is 28-1. If I remember my numbers, but here is currently what these are in terms of the shortest of all numbers on these matchups. Denver Seattle is the shortest shot at 12-1. That relates to the fact that Denver is the favorite to get the number one seed in the AFC and Seattle a slight favorite right in their game against San Francisco to get the number one seed in the NFC. Denver and the Rams, because everybody still considers, the market still considers the Rams one of the two best teams in football, is next at 14-1. Shows you, again, how important that number one seed is, that Denver inhabits the first two spots. New England, Seattle is 3 at 15-1. Denver, San Francisco then, 17-1, in case San Francisco happens to win this week. These all make intuitive sense and are logical based on the spreads from this week. New England Rams, 19-1. Denver, Philly. There's Philly's first appearance at 20-1. And you see the rest, starting with Jacksonville, Seattle, and Buffalo, Seattle at 20-1. Is there a matchup, Kelly Bidley, that interests you?
I do have. So I have one that I've bet. I bet an exact, what was this, probably like 6 weeks ago or something, Bills over Seahawks at 90-1. There is, I think, a couple on here that interest me a little bit, Gil. Look, there's, I don't think that I have the most trust in Denver or New England making it all the way through the AFC. So I think this is one of those where you can kind of look down the board for AFC side and then pair it with, I'm not going anywhere but Rams or Seattle still. But yeah, Jacksonville and the Rams that jump out to me at 25-1. This
more than Buffalo Rams.
That one would be my next one too. Oh. I would bring that up too, but, this Jags team, man, they've been impressive, I think, these last few weeks to me, and have impressed me heading into the playoffs as much as anybody on the AFC side. So, yeah, that's where I would go if I had to place one today. We talk about it with Buffalo. I think if they end up in the Super Bowl, am I going to be shocked? No. I got a lot of questions about some of the other AFC teams, but, man, Buffalo, the holes on the Bills are so obvious, right? Like, it is, you've got Josh Allen, you got an offensive line.
It's Josh Allen, one big hole.
You got James Cook, okay, if Kincaid's not playing, you got nobody out there who can catch the ball consistently. The defense is a nightmare. It's just a lot to put on Josh Allen's shoulders.
Everybody's flawed this year.
Everybody's flawed,
not just them.
Everybody's talked schedule with New England, we've talked quarterbacks that Denver's played and their defense. It's just, the Houston offense, are you really ever going to fully trust that side of the ball with Houston? Like, it's everybody's got problems ending.
I love this market. Super Bowl matchup odds. Remember, not exactas. Team does not have to beat the other team. They just have to meet in the Super Bowl. There are exacta markets as well out there. I just don't prefer to play that. I'd hate to go that far and then lose on who ends up winning the Super Bowl, in other words. I think I will add some. I just don't know which at this point.
Chargers Rams 50.
Houston's shortest is Houston versus Seattle at 22-1, by the way. College Hoops with Greg Peterson next. This Fab Five on the other side.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Happy New Year to you and yours. May you have a healthier new year than I am having currently. Hope it's a healthy day tomorrow for you. And then 2026, that is a prosperous one. You have any New Year's resolutions, Kelly Bidley?
No.
No.
No. We'll do some betting resolutions, though, end of the week.
Okay.
We do that every year.
Yeah, we do. It's all primetime action tradition.
Those are always good.
We get tweets, beating the book, always appreciated. Paul Zhang, any idea why there's a steam on Iowa? Down to +3. Did I do that? I was reading Bob's analysis earlier. There's only a lean from Bob, though. Again, not a bet, not a strong opinion. I have no idea other than that.
Yeah, it's been moving all morning, 5.5 down to 3.
Joey Bag of Tennis Balls says, what's the number to text the show? Happy New Year. It's 1-800-K-BIDLIN. Kelly answers all the phones. He answers all the texts as well. He's very ornery, though.
I can make money off that.
You never know what you're going to get back from him.
Set up my own 800 number.
Chris Heath. I just missed that segment, but I wanted to share. I have Steelers, Niners, and Ravens, Rams in pocket. There you go. Steelers and Ravens he's got. We'll see. Numbers, guys. Thank you, Gil, for saying what I've been saying for the last few years. I miss never getting the sniffles, sore throat, cough, etc. The mask eliminated all that. Happy New Year. Thank you for all you do. So much of my year is spent enjoying your content slash art. Thank you very much. We appreciate
art.
It.
Art. Wow.
Wow. Is that, what, you think that's a knock?
Wow.
You think that's a, you took that as a knock? Art.
I didn't take it slash as a, art. I didn't take it as a knock. I took it as way too complimentary for what we do, but okay.
Art. Maybe he means just the musical references or something. RAE Network. Oh, it's the guy I met yesterday at the Wynn. Host of the Wynn says, great meeting you at the Wynn yesterday. That's where we do the Megapod from, the Beating the Book Megapod. He says, sorry the cafe didn't have your soup. Wish I had some cool future bet to share, but all I have left is Georgia 5-1 to win the CFP. Have a good new year. And how about them Cowboys? Oh, we had such a good relationship until that last line. Thank you, RAE Network, and happy new year to you. It was great meeting you as well. Greg Peterson joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Greg can be found on Twitter at GUnit_81, and of course, is a one-of-a-kind American treasure. Greg, happy new year to you, my friend.
Happy New Year's Eve to you, gentlemen. Hopefully you guys had a good 2025, and let's hope that 2026 is the best yet.
Absolutely. What are you and the girlfriend do? What do you guys planned on New Year's Eve tonight? What are you guys doing?
Right now, there are absolutely no plans whatsoever. I will probably be taking some sort of spot a little bit later on in the day. We've got ourselves some college basketball today. We've got ourselves some great games tomorrow, so I'm going to immerse myself in college basketball.
There you go. Did you say you're a spa today? Is that what you said?
No, there will not be a spa day today. I don't need to be signed up for a spa day on the final day of the year.
Totally,
I will be watching college basketball.
Totally heard the same thing.
Is that what you heard? That's what I heard as well.
Like, spa or spot?
I don't know. Spa. Guy's going to a spa.
Catch Greg at the spa.
Yeah, that's right. He'll be at a spa near you today.
I will not be at a spa near you. I might be at a TV watching college basketball near you, not at a spa.
Any New Year's resolutions, Greg, before we dive into your plays? Anything?
Oh, I've done this a few times, and I'm sure you guys will appreciate it. If you have a New Year's resolution, just do it right now. Why wait for the new year to fix something that you think is going wrong with yourself? I am not a New Year's resolution guy whatsoever. Yeah. When you see something go wrong, whether that's January 1st, February 1st, March 1st, you nip it in the bud right there. I am not a New Year's resolution guy whatsoever. Totally overrated.
Life advice from Greg Peterson.
I couldn't agree more. That was great.
I couldn't agree more.
Also, like, you kind of sprung it on me, but I'm also like one of those people, like, don't lie. Don't lie. You know, like, what am I going to sit here and tell you I'm going to drink less or something? That's not happening. Like, yeah, it'd be great, but it's not going to happen.
So let me get this straight. If you are making a New Year's resolution, tell the truth as well.
Yes, tell the truth. Right. You don't have to tell anybody. Like Greg said, just do it. Just start doing it.
Just do it. Greg, let's start with a couple nationally televised games today, if you would, as part of your Fab Five. A couple ACC games. Wake NC State and Clemson Syracuse. You have some bets on those two.
Now, I can recommend a New Year's resolution to the NCAA. Give us more random games in Hawaii and give us more random day games on weekdays.
Yes.
That would make me a very happy camper because we've got a lot of day games today, and this is one of them. This game tips off in a little bit more than an hour. Right now, Wake Forest, 9.5 to a 10-point underdog, and I took the points with Wake Forest. I don't understand why this number has gotten so high. Wake Forest has been really good at generating turnovers. Top 25 team in the country in terms of turnovers forced. on a per possession basis. They face off against NC State team that really loves to go bombs away from three. NC State is 47th in the country in terms of percentage of their shots that come from three. And one thing that Wake Forest is doing a really good job of is guarding the arc. Teams are shooting less than 28.5% from three against them in a roadside church court environment. Juke Harris has been able to supply this Wake Forest team with about 20 points per game. I think Wake Forest holds in there against an NC State team that, yeah, they've been beating up on lesser competition. I love to see Will Wade get all fiery and stuff, but it's Wake Forest team much improved from a season ago. And this is an interesting rivalry out there in the great state of North Carolina. So give me the points with Wake Forest right now getting 9 out of 10.
Clemson, Syracuse, much more tightly lined. You have a side and a total here.
Yes, and I think that when it comes to tight games like this, where Syracuse was the underdog, they've now flipped to being the favorite. You might want to look into Syracuse free throw shooting. There are 365 Division I teams, and guess where they rank? 365th.
Come on.
They shoot 59% at the free throw line. Man. So imagine you have a one possession game and you are right now trusting in Syracuse to hit free throws to cash your bet. That's not a place where you want to be. And this is a really balanced Clemson team. Clemson is a top 55 team in terms of both points scored and points allowed on a per possession basis. Now working in favor of Syracuse is that Donnie Freeman, arguably their top player, should be back in this game, but you don't know what you're going to get out of him coming off of injury. With Clemson, it's a whole is greater than the sum of its parts approach, where you don't have a single guy that gives you over 11.7 points per game, but nine different guys that give you over 5 points per game. So I like Clemson here. I was getting them as a very, very slight favorite. Now as an underdog, I like them on the money line to go along with the under, as you've got a Syracuse team that's in the top 30 in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis. Clemson outside the top 290 in terms of total possessions per game.
59% from the line. That is embarrassing.
Brutal.
High school coach used to make us run, like we would do sprints, right? We'd run, and then he would put us right at the line. And he would say, okay, let me see who can shoot free throws completely, you know,
who's got the legs
absolutely winded. Who's got the legs to do it? Maybe they ought to try doing that. Real quick, before we get to your final two picks, just curious, because obviously huge news in college basketball. You're hearing a lot from guys like John Calipari on, I believe it was Baylor, who just announced they signed a kid that was drafted in the 2023 NBA draft, was it?
Yeah.
Does this bother you, or are you so into your bets that it's sort of equivalent to a coach is like, well, we just coach up whoever's here? Like, do you care as a handicapper who does so much college hoops?
Absolutely, because I have to figure out how much I adjust these teams for G League guys. Like with Nanji signing with Baylor, that's going to make an impact for them. A lot of these G League guys make less of a difference to the line than a lot of people think. Like Santa Clara signed a G League guy a few weeks ago, and he's just been coming off the bench, giving them like 4 or 5 points a game. So some of these guys, just because they're in the G League previously, doesn't mean that they make a world of difference. Now, when you sign the former number 31 pick in the NBA draft and was moved in the Carl Anthony Towns deal, that's going to make a little bit more of an impact, especially for a Baylor team with not a lot of depth to start with. But I do feel like sometimes we make a little bit too much out of this. That said, it does sort of rub me the wrong way that they're signing these G League guys. Let's not sign actual professionals for collegiate sports, in my opinion.
That's what I was trying to. So it affects your handicapping, I get, but it also offends your college basketball sensibilities to a degree as well. That's what I was looking for.
Yep.
George Mason and LaSalle, getting back to your picks. What do you got here?
We're going to be looking at the under to go along with George Mason. George Mason was a 7.5-point favorite. This is up to 9. I'm still willing to lay it. I set them as a double-figure favorite. LaSalle playing very slowly, 319th in terms of total possessions per game and 14 turnovers per game. Outside the top 290 in terms of ball security, you have a George Mason defense as rock solid, 65th in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis, 40th in terms of defensive rebound percentage, and George Mason shooting over 36% from three. Corey Mincy, who comes over from Presbyterian, has been able to help out with that regard. You've got a George Mason team that also is slow at about 90th in terms of total possessions per game. So I think you get a slog of a game. I like the under, and I'm going to be willing to lay with George Mason.
St. Bonnie and VCU. Bonaventure, the Bonnies are 11-point dogs at VCU or versus VCU today. What do you got?
And St. Bonaventure's played a little bit more quickly this year. I think that they get back to the roots, play a little bit more slowly. So I took what was 11 at the time with St. Bonaventure to go along with the under. Have a VCU team that is yet to really find that go-to scorer. Terrence Hill has been able to give you about 13 points per game. But the way that St. Bonaventure is a top 50 team in terms of turnovers forced on a per possession basis away from them, I think is going to be able to keep them lively in this game. They've got a double-double machine on their team as well. So I do think that with St. Bonaventure, they do a nice job of folding in there, like the points and the under.
There it is. Greg Peterson's Fab Five on a New Year's Eve morning. Greg, happy New Year to you and yours. Don't ever change, man. We love you. American treasure. Thank you so much, Greg.
Thank you, guys.
Greg Peterson, everybody. GUnit_81 on Twitter. Toddy Wishnev, next.